Christmas Eve, 1967. Certainly, there will never in my life be another Christmas Eve like this. I'd asked the operator to wake me about 4:15. I phoned to see if Lennon was on schedule. He would be in about 4:45. I slipped downstairs about 4:30. Linda was there. He let Chuck sleep because he was still recuperating from his cold. And in a minute, Lucy and Patrick were there. We'd been told when the plane touched down at Andrews. About 5 o'clock, the helicopter settled to the ground on the White House lawn. And the fastest, longest, hardest trip of any president of the United States was at an end. We all rushed out and took turns hugging and kissing him. He was buoyed up on the wave of excitement. A few hours later, when I read the Sunday paper, there was the map of the world with his path and arrows and the headlines, "Around the World in 4.5 Hectic Days." Lyndon B. Johnson has become the first American president ever to travel around the world while in office. Had circumnavigated the globe in 4.5 days. Trip began on Tuesday noon as a mission to attend memorial services for his friend and supporter, the late Prime Minister Harold Holt of Australia. Ended with a visit to Thailand and South Vietnam, a conference in Karachi with Pakistani President Mohammed Ayub Khan, and the late night meetings in Rome. He'd been in the air 60 and a half hours and had covered 27,300 miles. There were 200 members in the party. Two of them had had heart attacks. And the last long day had begun in Thailand before sunup and ended over the Atlantic on the way to Washington. We went up to Lyndon's room. It would have been quite impossible to go to bed. So we sat around and talked for nearly 2 hours while Lyndon had his tea and I coffee about the trip, the family of Harold Holt, who would succeed him, Ed Clark, the stop in Vietnam, surprise, at least to me, visit with Ayub Khan, our old friend, and much, much about the Pope, partly because of Lucy and Pat's presence, partly because Popes interest Lyndon. It always intrigues me, this unlikely affinity, this interest in many successive popes on the part of this Protestant Texas politician. The net, it all sounded good. He was riding a high. He'd satisfied a deep, inbred desire to show his respect and friendship for a dead friend. Had, he hoped, by his presence given evidence of his special feeling as commander-in-chief for those troops, and had also struck a blow for peace by meeting with a pope. It was a tour de force like no others. He brought us presents. We looked at some of them. And then, just a few minutes before 7, Lucy and Pat said they were going to Mass, and he said, "I'll go with you." I was not about to. And so, in the reverse order of what seemed fitting, he went out to church with the children, and I went back to bed. I woke up about 10. Lyndon had gone to his office. Juanita was there, ever faithful. He brought her and Mary and Barry Beck back for lunch. But we were hopelessly off schedule and did not see our usual quota of TV shows on Sunday. In the afternoon, Harry McPherson and the Valentis and Secretary Rust came in. Lyndon worked on a resume of his trip, combined with a Christmas message to the nation, which was televised down in the theater. And then all the photographers trooped up to the second floor, and we did Christmas pictures in front of our Christmas tree in the yellow oval room, Patrick, Lyndon, and Yuki, standing by Marietta Brooks' beautiful red velvet Christmas stockings that hang from the mantel below George Washington. They tell the story of our lives, from Karnak to the university, to the Capitol, and Lucy and Linda and the White House. Lyndon's and mine were our Christmas present. It was Patrick Lyndon's, his being born present. And Linda and Chuck's, their wedding present. And their real work of art. Of course, the particular accent was Lyndon with Patrick Lyndon or Yuki. But the feeling that pervaded the whole day was that familiar one that always happens no matter the amount of preparation or organization or planning during the 24 hours before the Christmas tree. Only this time, it was all concentrated into even fewer hours. Lyndon was sending Marie scurrying in one direction to wrap additional packages. Ashton had come down. He was checking out the clothes with her that he had bought for his girls. Me, Linda, Lucy, Marie, Juanita, Mary Slater. And no sooner does he give one than he must see it modeled at once. And he's absolutely delighted if it looks pretty and the recipient likes it. We decided to have the Christmas tree right before dinner. And about 6 o'clock, all was in readiness, packages piled high. I had put both the painting of the Texas landscape by Bill Hoey and the little girl in a yellow hat that looks like a French impressionist under the tree for Lyndon, and for Lucy, I had Carmen curlers, a sweater for Chuck, a sweater for Pat. They hoped to go skiing between Christmas and New Year's. And for Linda, an early edition of Huckleberry Finn. About 6 o'clock, we were gathered, just the family and Marie Famer, felicitously watching over Lyndon's pile with her pad and pencil. Lyndon always appoints himself Santa Claus, but he likes to see it work fast, and so he called on Patrick to help him. More and more, Patrick just naturally moves in to be his companion and his helper. I watch it with pleasure. And of course, all eyes were on Lynn to see how he would like the tree and the toys. As a matter of fact, he liked anything he could get in his mouth, and he was not particularly interested in the tree. Lyndon gave me a yellow wool dress jacket by Jeffrey Bean, which fit beautifully. And Linda and Chuck gave us a beautiful album of their wedding pictures. And Lucy, a funny verse, which told me that their gift couldn't possibly be brought to Washington, and I would have to wait till I got to the ranch to see it. And if it didn't turn out to be a cherished gift, she hoped it would at least be a family joke. There was an envelope of savings bonds from Lyndon. But alas, the many good things that we get to eat year after year from old friends. Pecans from the Porter Agnews. Dates from Jacqueline Cochran. Candy and smoked turkey and grapefruit from hosts of friends, some of whom have done it for 20 years. We no longer receive. We just get the notice that it has been sent, and we write a nice thank you letter. And the Secret Service, in performance of duty, destroys the food. I cannot blame them. I can only bewail the waste. Occasionally, something is sent to Ashton Gunella, and she brings it in her own hands to the kitchen, and we do eat it. We unwrapped presents and exclaimed and showed and sank knee-deep into tissue paper and bright-colored wrappings and ribbons. It was after 8 o'clock when nearly everybody was finished. I still had a bench piled high. So we went in to dinner, Linda and Chuck and Lucy and Pat, Sam Houston and Marie and Lyndon and I. Lucy gave a full and beautiful blessing, and our Christmas had reached its peak.